from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think it's going really well right now. Me and Josh are getting comfortable with each other. You know, for a while, like, he was used to how Mitch snapped it. Mitch tended to snap it to his left. That's how Josh was used to it. So this whole offseason, we've been working, trying to train him coming back to the center. And I think we're just starting to click, and we're finally starting to gel together.
Connor McGovern from Bills practice. Chalk that up as I learned something today. Some centers snap it a little left, and McGovern working to get it back to the middle. Mm-hmm. Mitch was a left snapper, I guess. Okay. Quarterbacks and their centers.
The science of snapping.
The science. Well, and Allen, hey, is left side okay? I guess so.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Hey, remember, when it comes to the chance to win some golf, Friday Foursomes with Encore Golf, Labatt, and WGR are still going. Every Friday, we announce a lucky winner who we get to experience the excitement of playing one of Western New York's finest courses, Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Clover Bank. Plus, you receive a box of Encore Golf balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. And Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Jeremy and Joe, and gearing up for a game week. It is preseason. Bills and Bears will meet Saturday at Highmark Stadium. And joining us on the Western Hotline is Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears to chat about this matchup. Lauren, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today.
Of course. Happy to join you.
So, it's funny. I want to start with this conversation about the Bears by saying we've been in this spot before where all of a sudden people think, hey, that team that's been kind of just nothing for a decade might be interesting for the first time that people can remember. Like, the Bills went from, you know, 17 years of blech to on the map, and maybe the Bears are about to take a similar step. The Bears are certainly getting a lot more attention these days.
Yeah, well, they're trying to follow maybe not the exact same path because they thought they were doing that with Fields, but get the quarterback, get the weapons for the quarterback, and hope that you get the right combination there that takes an offense that's been anemic for a long time and brings it really on the map into 21st century football. And by the way, you know, pair it with a defense that finished last season really strong and brings back a lot of the same kind of veteran pieces along the way with kind of a defensive-minded head coach. There's definitely some similarities with at least the general directions that these two teams were headed.
How has it looked for Caleb Williams in his first camp? Josh Allen did not win the starting job in his first camp. He was behind Nathan Peterman, and that lasted like a half a game.
It's amazing to think that actually happened.
Yeah, he did not win the competition. Yeah. So was there a competition for Caleb Williams, or has it been his job from the start?
Now, they named him the starting quarterback like 2 weeks after they drafted him with the number one overall pick. It was no questions, no doubts. We were rolling with this. They haven't even really signed a veteran quarterback. I mean, their most experienced quarterback in the room is Brett Rypien, who's been an undrafted free agent who's bounced around the NFL a couple of seasons here. But, I mean, both their backup quarterbacks have like 4 career starts. So it's very much a raw quarterback room, but they've invested a lot in a couple of different assistant coaches that are just like, you know, personnel assistants that are former quarterbacks that have played. So they're kind of hoping the experience comes that way. But as far as practice goes, you know, you've gotten some of your normal rookie ups and downs, just throwing a few interceptions here and there. But I think generally you're seeing a lot of the same kind of like pocket movement and throwing out across his body, rolling on the pocket that we saw at USC, the kind of playmaking things that you really fell in love with in the pre-draft process. And then it's just been a matter of, you know, him getting, working the line of scrimmage and the cadence and kind of getting the delivery of this offense. It's a little bit more complicated than what Lincoln Riley had him do at USC.
Do you think we're going to see him on Saturday, by the way?
I think we will a little bit, but not much. The Bears have been insistent that, yes, they want to play him in the preseason. They've said, you know, 45 to 60-ish snaps over the course of the preseason, and he didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. But all along, they've kind of said it'll depend on the health of the offensive line. They're not going to put him out there behind, you know, a bunch of backups that otherwise, you know, the starters wouldn't be available. And this is as injured as the offensive line has been all training camp right now. So the next 5 days will really go a long way to determine how much he'll play in the preseason game. But if the game was tomorrow, it might only be a drive at most because this line is really banged up.
Okay. In terms of like what he looks like at camp and I guess what the expectation is for him, like I'm trying to figure out, Lauren, like what is he not good at, or what are better way to put it? Like, what's the thing he needs to clean up to get right to one of the best quarterbacks in football? Because the way he's been built up is, it feels like a lot of the tools are there. So maybe it's just kind of getting a grasp on NFL offenses before, again, like if he's got the receivers and he's got all the talent, it almost seems hard to think he's not going to have one of the better rookie years in the past few years.
Yeah, that's the feeling, right, is that he just needs to kind of get up to speed a little bit more on, you know, different plays and concepts that maybe weren't involved at USC. Like, the same kind of route concepts, you know, whether it's slants or the basic stuff, he seems to have picked up really quickly. But as camp has gone on, you know, they've tried to go a little bit more advanced in the offense and layer in some more difficult concepts. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, once he gets a couple of reps doing the same play a couple of times, it starts to click and you can see him really go through it a lot faster. But they, you know, as recent as last week, they were still throwing relatively new stuff at him. And you can kind of tell it's maybe his first time having to read that specific progression and that specific play and then know, you know, at what depth every receiver is supposed to be at and how quickly the ball's got to get there. And so that's where you've seen more of the mistakes. It's just when he's trying to navigate something that's really brand new. But as they've kind of gone back through stuff, you really see it settle in and the operation, you know, post snap becomes that much quicker.
Go ahead.
I was going to go with the head coach in general, and like, you know, there might have been some surprise he was brought back for this, and you know, a new quarterback and an old coach that can sometimes be an odd pairing. What's the general feel about the head coach getting a clean slate, really?
Yeah, it's amazing how the drafting of Caleb Williams has changed just like the fan perspective on Matt Eberflus, right? Like they haven't played a game or anything. And yet I think his general, if there was an approval rating, you know, like the president, his has gone up despite like, we haven't really seen him actually do anything since last season when plenty of fans were ready to fire him and wanted to turn over the whole coaching staff. They did turn over, you know, both coordinator spots and the entire offensive staff, or almost the entire offensive staff is brand new. So I think there's this feeling like, yes, even though it's the same head coach, like Matt Eberflus is not there to be the genius tactician, or he's not, this isn't like a revolutionary defense that is X's and O's ahead of everyone else. He's just there to be kind of the CEO, culture leader, motivator type guy, and that, you know, the offensive coordinator is supposed to be the one who's going to unlock Caleb Williams. And of course, they hired former Bills defensive line coach Eric Washington to be their defensive coordinator, and he's supposed to kind of oversee that side of the ball. So in theory, Matt Eberflus's fingerprints aren't as much on the play calling and X's and O's operation as much as he is going to call the defense for now. But like, I don't think he's going to be as hands-on with all over the roster. And the feeling is like, okay, maybe with the right coordinators in here now, that there could be that kind of a turnover. And plus, he's worked a lot on his presentation, how he carries himself at press conferences and stuff. It's a really interesting article about he worked with like a speaking coach and stuff to just be more natural to the public. And I think that's really helped his perception as well.
Lauren Cox on the Western Hotline, Locked On Bears. The other top 10 rookie in Chicago, Rome Odunze. One, I guess, is he also someone we should expect to see a little of on Saturday? And two, Lauren, like, I play a lot of fantasy, and I feel like every week his average draft possession is just getting higher and higher. And as someone's not like completely plugged into Bears camp, like, is that happening because he's lighting up Bears camp right now?
I mean, he's not having a bad camp by any means, but it's not like, oh, wow, he is blowing everybody away. Right? I mean, he's about where you would expect a first-round rookie, but the problem is you've got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen clearly, obviously, going to be ahead of him on the depth chart and going to be the priority for the targets there. So, you know, from a fantasy football perspective, it's hard for me to, like, give a strong recommendation of, like, yeah, go get him, because I think back to Seattle last season with the Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron came from Seattle when they had two great outside wide receivers, and they drafted a first-round rookie in a similar kind of way, Jackson Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State. And, you know, the two outside receivers were each almost 1,000-yard guys, and then JSN had about 628 yards. Like, there's only so many balls to go around that, like, I wouldn't expect Rome Odunze to carry your fantasy team, but I do think he's going to have an opportunity to make some big plays this season, and he's done everything they've asked him to do, and he's fully looked the part. It's just not like he's not just, like, dominating necessarily. He just looks how you would expect him to look.
Did that Moore extension make sense, by the way? Like, was that on the radar?
It was earlier than you might have thought. I mean, on the radar. Like, it wasn't like he had asked for a contract extension, so it was a little bit out of left field. It was one of those things that you knew was probably coming in the relatively near future, but maybe not today. But they did a nice job of locking him in at a lower per-year average than some of the other wide receivers have been getting, and you want to get ahead of the CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk contracts. And they also built some nice flexibility into the deal where, you know, at the end of the contract, they're going to have a couple of years of non-guaranteed money when he's over 30, and you can kind of decide then, do we want to keep him around or not? But they're paying him a little bit more now in his prime to kind of push some of that savings into the future.
How about the running back situation? DeAndre Swift? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement about Swift being able to unlock a little bit more of this offense from a passing game standpoint. Like, they had a solid group of runners last season with Khalil Herbert and Deontay Foreman and the rookie Roschon Johnson. Like, they were a really effective rushing team even without Justin Fields' legs involved. But they wanted to be able to get a little bit more out of that position, and that's where their Swift comes in. They also went hard after Saquon Barkley this offseason, but got a little bit more expensive than they would have wanted. So they're really looking for him to upgrade the passing game a little bit more. But still, Swift's going to be the lead runner, but I think we're going to see quite a rotation there. They're still kind of piecing together who exactly is going to be number two and who's going to be number three. But I think certainly from a fantasy perspective, I'm not necessarily expecting DeAndre Swift to dominate the carries. Like, he'll still be the lead back and be the guy you would want out of that group. But, like, it's going to be more of the, you know, Austin Eckler type of all-around role that he's going to really thrive in.
Last thing I have for you, Lauren. Where are we at on the Chicago Stadium front? I feel like every time I read about it, it has changed. But you tell me.
Yeah, that's intentional, right? Where we're at is playing the leverage game and making two different locations fight over you for where you want to put your stadium. So, yeah, initially, you know, they bought this big property in the suburbs and said, you know, we're going to build this whole, like, entertainment district around the stadium with hotels and stuff. And because they were in quite a disagreement with the city of Chicago and leadership at that time, then there's a change in mayors. So the Bears kind of come back to the table, and also the suburbs weren't giving them the kind of property assessment and tax, like, tax benefits that they were looking for. So then they come back to the city and new mayor and say, okay, well, maybe we could still build downtown. And so now they're like, our focus is building on the lakefront, but they still own that property in the suburbs and are still talking to the local, you know, the city council and stuff in the burbs. So they're just kind of waiting to see, will the state give them the kind of money they want to stay in Chicago? Will the city give them the kind of money they want, or will the suburbs? And they keep kind of playing back and forth to see which one will give them more of what they want before they really commit to building one spot.
All right. Lauren Cox, Locked On Bears. Lauren, thanks. And we will see Chicago on Saturday.
Hey, hopefully we get to see more starters than we did the Hall of Fame game. Thanks, guys.
That's right. All right. Bears in town Saturday, 1:00.
The Bears have the third best odds to win the NFC North at +330. That's the best odds of any third favorite in a division, except for the AFC East, Miami.
Right, because the AFC East, according to the odds, is like a three-team race.
Yes.
And no other division looks like that.
But the NFC North is close.
Okay.
Like, it's not that far off. Miami, yeah, what's Miami? +220 and Chicago's +330. So, a little bit. Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, all pretty sandwiched together. That division, to me, easily the best in the NFC. Most interesting, I would also say. Because Green Bay's kind of fun and new. Chicago is definitely fun and new. And Detroit's kind of fun and new, even. Like, all of its cool, new teams that haven't been, except for Green Bay, haven't been successful in the past. Like, I'm so into that division this year. And we get it week one, don't we? Don't the Bears host Sunday Night Football? Bears against Rams. No. Week two. Week two, I'm thinking of. Bears-Texans is the week two game.
That's a good game.
Yes.
Next preseason game is Thursday. It's Lions somebody.
Will you watch?
Sure.
You're going to watch not Mr. Preseason Pledge. You're going to watch non-Bills preseason games?
By the way,
Lions-Giants.
I'm Lions-Giants. I'm about to introduce a new pledge.
And Patriots-Panther. Oh, you're going to see some Drake May on the Thursday night.
We need a new pledge.
Training camp pledge.
No. We need a new pledge that is going to replace the preseason pledge.
Preseason pledge, but there's a like a asterisk on it, and then at the bottom it says, except for the wide receivers.
Except for Tyrell Shavers. No. The preseason pledge still exists. We now need to have a ranking season pledge.
Ranking season pledge?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Where?
What is ranking season? Has it already started?
This is ranking season.
This is ranking season?
Yeah, ranking season.
Isn't during the season also ranking season, though?
No, no. The NFL, it's the football season. This is ranking season.
Okay.
The NFL's top 100 comes out. The Madden ratings come out. So-and-so, everybody's top 100 comes out.
Yep.
We need to start making pledges about ranking season.
And then you're talking like the player rankings.
All of them.
All of them?
Every ranking out there. All of them. Everybody needs to relax. Just take a breath. Watching, and you know, it's very online, these conversations. We're not taking 30 calls a day, people saying, how could Josh Allen be so disrespected?
Mm-hmm.
We are at the point where people think their own quarterback is dumped on more than it is in reality. Mahomes just got ranked second. I don't know if
among
there's...
quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Fourth total. Yeah.
Second among quarterbacks. Are they yelling about it in Kansas City? They might be. Are they online chirping at Lamar? Meanwhile, Lamar got ranked the number one quarterback among the players. It's all about how Josh Allen is... There's a campaign against Josh Allen. Yeah. No one appreciates him. Lamar Jackson is constantly taken down for what he is and what he does.
I just saw that.
He is a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
You don't have to think he's very good, but man, he gets taken apart all the time for not being very good. There are no campaigns. I'm right back where I was when one anonymous NFL executive thought Josh Allen's overrated. That is okay. It is okay for someone to think that. He's not telling you that he thinks Aiden O'Connell is better. And even so, ranking season. It exists to make you upset. Maybe the players are in it for content too. Maybe there's a memo to the players like, listen, you guys are part of the revenue of this league, right? We split it 50-50. If you could throw a couple of hot takes in this player ranking, we'll get some more clicks at NFL.com. And that money goes right to you, fellas. Relax with ranking season. There's my new pledge.
I saw an amazing debate that I took one swipe at one of them. It was Ravens fans and Bills fans going back and forth because a Ravens fan had the audacity to claim that Josh Allen doesn't get disrespected as much as Lamar Jackson.
Right, now we're arguing.
So now we were fighting about who gets disrespected more, like it's a title.
Don't you disrespect my guy by saying he doesn't get disrespected? That's disrespectful. That's where this is. And at some point, it's like, I saw someone post this big, long, 500-word tweet about how Josh Allen needs to be recognized. He is universally recognized as one of the best quarterbacks in sport. He was on the cover of Madden. The Bills are in prime time all the time. And it's just like, he just doesn't get the credit he deserves. He gets tons of credit. At some point, you have to view it like, you're the person that says, I just catch red lights my whole life. No, you don't. You don't get red lights your whole life. Oh, are you saying I've never caught a red light? Yes, there are a couple that you will get, just like there's Craig Carton, who said that Bean was going to be the one to trade Allen because he's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take those people seriously. That's key. You just don't. It's ranking season. Arguing with a Dolphins fan doesn't even make sense. It's like arguing about a number one dad shirt. My dad's got the number one dad shirt. No, my dad's got the number one dad shirt. You're a Dolphins fan. Arguing with a Ravens fan. What do you think is going to happen? Let's argue about whose city is better. What do you think? You're just going to convince somebody? Oh, you know what? You're right. Hmm. Mine's not as good as yours. Ranking season. Sorry. Need a pledge. Devontae Adams.
Ranking season.
Devontae Adams said Buffalo's terrible. Jonnu Smith said Buffalo's terrible. I'm at a point in my life where I think, okay, that's fine. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has to like you. And not everybody has to like your city. And not everybody has to like your quarterback. No, that's my rant. Rant over. Ranking season. I love that Bills and Ravens fans are arguing who gets more disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the defensive nature can be wild.
They got to win.
It goes beyond Allen, too.
I hope everybody knows.
This was Coleman Twitter last week.
I hope everybody knows. If the Bills win the Super Bowl this year,
yeah,
Chiefs fans are going to say, like, talk to me when you win three. They'll immediately take it down from you. And you have to be able to just not care about that. Dolphins fans will say you got lucky. Something will happen where the people that watch will say, yeah, but it wasn't that good.
But how much of sports is bragging rights?
Oh, I know.
Right, like the point right now, your bragging rights is your quarterback.
But the point is, bragging about him to someone that likes someone else is never going to work. They don't like your team. Bragging to the Ravens about your quarterback, they have a 2-time MVP.
All right.
Well, I don't think he's as good as... Okay.
But are they asking Ravens fans to like him, or are they asking, well, in this case, NFL players? Or are they asking Pro Football Focus? Or are they asking ESPN?
This is arguing... You're
which, by the way, again, like I think your original point is right. 99% of the people that are talking about football in front of microphones are universally recognizing that Josh Allen's one of the best in the world.
Yes.
You turn on ESPN every day, hear about how Mina Kimes talks about him, how Ryan Clark talks about Josh Allen. There's no disrespect happening there. But like, if one sentence gets said in a negative way, it'll get passed around, right? That's how social media works now.
Skip Bayless spent a decade saying LeBron wasn't good.
Really, it's all his fault, for being real.
Might be.
Let's just blame Skip for this.
All right.
It's bragging rights, though. Just don't go too far with it. Too far with it, to me, would be the Lamar Allen debate of who gets disrespected more. That's going too far with it. Now we need to do something else. We need to go watch House of the Dragon. Something, please.
Although I heard it's not that good.
Don't get me started. I heard that last night.
So last night,
I can't freaking believe I gotta wait 2 years for the next season.
Did the season end?
The season ended last night,
and nothing happened.
Nothing. Is that a spoiler?
From what I understand, well, whatever.
Okay,
I'm not watching this show. What I heard was it was basically 8 episodes. It could have been 2.
Okay, spoiler alert. Kind of. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it kind of spoils the ending a little bit. They built the whole season up to an event that they then left you hanging on, and they're not coming out with the next season for like almost 2 years.
I got lots of time to catch up.
Yeah, they could have absolutely done it in a couple of episodes.
Listen, there's a point to be made that not watching shows when they come out so you can later binge them is better. I won't wait 2 years for that season. In 2 years, I'll just watch it. And a month before, I'll watch season one and season two. Waiting 2 years for a season of a show, that stinks. Who wants to do that anymore? Who has time for that?
That's what happened. Wasn't that the last Game of Thrones season? Took like 2.5 years, 3 years for it to come out?
Yeah.
You're trying too hard if it's taking that long to film 7 episodes of television.
All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550 to join us. The ranking season's pledge.
I mean, I will say Terrell Bernard is a 74, though, and Madden. Like, what are we doing? That one I'm actually more mad about. I would be if I don't know if I'm getting Madden because I'm probably getting the college football game. But if you play Madden, that could make you mad because I want to play with the Bills and you're making all the players bad, so it's hard for me to actually win.
You can just edit that player.
Well, not if you play online.
The complaints.
Just saying.
I must log online and make a Ravens fan aware that Terrell Bernard is good.
No, I'm not even saying that. Like, you could play as, if you want to play as the Bills, as a Bills fan, and then you put your defense out there, and Bernard's just getting roasted by the tight end every single play. It's like, what's the game doing to me? This player's not actually that bad, and I'm losing now because you decided he's horrible. That's what I mean.
I mean, if your biggest problem...
Nathan Peterman, a 49 overall, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we are... That's disrespect. 49.
All right, 803-0550.
Puka Nacua week to week with a knee injury for the Rams.
Okay.
So that could be something. We'll see.
Watching the floor routine.
Simone Biles in second. After one exercise, I don't think this is it. Does she have another? I don't know if she has another go at it.
All right, well.
But she's like point, we're into hundredths
I'm
now.
Spoiler alert, nervous here. I don't want to give live results. You know, this will be on later tonight.
You
got to
do that with the Olympics?
Yeah.
All right, fine. That's fair.
Yeah. People want to watch it tonight, maybe. We'll get a break in. If you're on hold, stick with us. I don't even know what that rant was about. It's ranking season. God willing, we'll all make it to the regular season.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Novak Djokovic gets gold for Serbia. A staggering achievement, considering his fitness level this year. The fact that he hadn't won one tournament this year, and he wins this. The only hole in his resume he has filled. His dream of winning gold for Serbia.
Novak Djokovic wins the gold. Big weekend of the Olympics. Gymnastics going on right now.
I think it just wrapped up.
You know,
I think Simone Biles won silver.
Oh, spoilers. We talked about this.
Sorry. Jeez.
We talked about this. Although if people are really intense or intent.
My bad.
Then they probably might not be listening. But anyway.
There's a better reason to watch anyway.
There is?
Yes.
Okay.
Like the reaction we just saw, like you see, like we saw from Scheffler too yesterday. Reactions are great when you see them win.
Yeah. Speaking of the Olympics, like there's a lot of little side fun topics that come out of it, whether it's how impressive it is, what's the hardest. A lot of people, I think, landing on water polo as being really hard, right? Treading water for hours.
Mm-hmm.
How about the one that, I mean, taking up cycling in 2017 and then winning a gold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it really says that anything about cycling. No one would say cycling is the hard part, right?
Right.
Being the fastest and the most having the most endurance and mental this and but people can ride bikes.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Running is not hard. Running as fast as they do or as long as they do is hard. So, I mean, imagine if you'd heard like, oh yeah, the gold medal winner in the 100 meter dash just took up running 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised, but at the same time, I was thinking about this for the point that's always made. Oh, LeBron could have been an NBA player. Or, I'm sorry, an NFL tight end. Like NFL players, NBA players. We just went through that.
The Allen debate in
the
offseason. A
month ago, could Allen do that? You know, like, could Josh Allen have been a pro? Pick an event. What would you pick?
Handball.
Sure. Could he be the best handball player in the world? Maybe. Could he take up the sport and quickly find that he's got ability? Mm-hmm. You know, some athletic traits are, of course, going to translate from this to that. So they kept saying about Kristen Faulkner, who won the gold in the women's road race, she only took up cycling less than a decade ago. Well, yeah, it is riding a bike.
Right. It's, right. Yeah. If you're in great shape.
Yeah.
And you work at it for 7 years, it's probably, yeah.
You train, yes. My guess is you could become pretty good at it.
It's also it was seven years, not like 1 year, right? You just take it up last year and then come in and then take it over.
Yeah. So anyway, Olympics today. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Beautiful weekend. Had a little rain on Saturday, but otherwise pretty nice. You know, not
it's
bad.
It's looking okay right now. You said we're supposed to get some thunderstorms, though, along the way today.
It is supposed to rain a little bit later. Yeah. But otherwise, it's nice. Stat of the day. Got a stat of the day for you. It's on the Olympics.
Okay.
Katie Ledecky.
Okay.
So Katie Ledecky is the first female to win 4 gold medals in the same event.
Okay.
The Olympic Games began 128 years ago.
Oh, like she won it in 4 separate games, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
She just four consecutive gold medals in the same event.
Yeah. And that's never happened in anything or just in swimming?
It's never happened. No. And it was also pointed out that they did not run the 1500 for women in all 4 of these Olympics because she would have done that too. She would have done it twice.
Yeah.
So, pretty good.
The 1500, which, by the way, that's a long race.
It's a long way to swim.
We watched that yesterday. That's a long, long, long race. It's like a 20-minute race. It's like you cramp one time, you're out.
I always find it kind of cool when they're doing track and field, and a race is going around the track, around the ring, and there are events happening in the middle at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a true track. Oh, yeah. Multiple events.
Mm-hmm.
Because this one race lasts so long, we're going to run the rest of it on the inside. So, platform diving. This is the good stuff.
Platform diving?
Yes.
Okay, spoil this one, though. Gymnastics is different. That's fair. Platform. If you're waiting for platform diving later.
I got an iconic Olympic moment. Have you ever seen? Did you ever know that this happened for you?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to date myself here, but
I go back to like 2006 mostly. Okay.
So then you probably
for Olympics.
You don't know who Greg Louganis is.
I do know who Greg Louganis is.
What do you know about him?
I know the name, and I know I've heard jokes made about him. Maybe is that it? No. Okay, maybe just the name. Just the name. What happened to Greg Louganis?
He was an American diver.
Yeah.
Medal winner. He won golds in 84 and 88. So I don't know if he's best known for winning golds, which he could be, but he also hit his head on the diving board on one of his flips.
Oh, okay. That maybe is what I've seen videos of even this week. He hit his head on the diving board where? At the Olympics?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, look at all the gold medals on his resume. All over. Widely considered the greatest diver in history.
Okay. 1988 Olympics, he's doing a flip and he hits his head on the diving board.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Like he comes up and he's bleeding and...
Holy cow.
Yeah. I don't know why that popped in my head, but... Probably because of the platform diving we're watching. He didn't hit it on the platform. That would be worse.
Yeah. What starting quarterback job right now is the most interesting? What would battle? Any of them? Are any of them interesting this year?
I mean, the answer is Pittsburgh, I guess.
Because that might actually be real now. It didn't feel real when camp started. But now Wilson being hurt has like opened the door to that. Because I'm finding myself not interested in any of the others. Like I do not care who starts for the Raiders. I don't even know if I really care who starts in Minnesota. Because Darnold and Jefferson have been getting a lot of love. I don't care who starts in Denver. Denver, it's going to be Bo Nix anyway. I'm not buying the Zach Wilson stuff.
The thing about Pittsburgh's battle, and this happens all the time with mobile quarterbacks as the backup.
Yeah.
That's the hardest kind of backup, I think, to hold off because he's just making plays, right? When you're a mobile quarterback,
yeah.
If Justin Fields pulls the ball down, takes off to run, and rips off 8 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me, you watching are like, that's a solid play. Coach is watching, say, why didn't you throw to your, you know, XYZ?
Right.
This guy's open. You missed this read. Yes, you gained 8. You should have had 75 because it was a wide open touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like mobile quarterbacks sometimes can lie to you by not throwing the ball. It's one of the things about Allen that we really don't think about that much because he does everything great. He throws the ball and runs the ball. So usually if he runs it, we're pretty confident. Like, okay, there'll be more plays to make out there. Whereas Fields, in most of his career, when he went from his horrible rookie season or second season to respectably good, it was all fantasy-based. All fantasy football.
Holy cow, yeah.
And all of his EPA came from running. He was no better as a passer, but all of a sudden became like, well, now you have to worry about him because he's running the ball. And I just think as a backup, that's the hardest quarterback to hold off. If you're Russell Wilson and you're playing in a conservative Mike Tomlin, run the ball, play action offense, and trying to wing the ball and find George Pickens down there, okay, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
It might work. And if it doesn't, if it looks boring, holding off a mobile backup is tough.
Mm-hmm. Man, the mobility, it's that big year, his second year, he had 2,200 yards passing and 1,100 yards rushing.
That's incredible, right? Like,
I mean, a third of his total yardage output was rushing. Like, as much as Allen runs, as much as Jackson runs, a third of their yardage is not rushing. What would you think Allen's is? Is it like a 1/7, an eighth? And for Jackson, it's maybe a little like a fifth? 1/3 of your production being running. That's crazy. Yeah, I guess I should be interested in Pittsburgh too because I mean, they like...
You asked most interesting. That was my answer.
Right. I mean, that is right. It would be because they have two guys that are bigger names. One is at the end. The other one, I mean, this is maybe it to see if he's ever going to take off at all. And I don't think he's going to. I think at this point, he is what he is as a passer. And you're not going that far with a guy who can't throw the ball into open windows like he can't. But that shouldn't that threaten a little bit? Like what they are. They are consistency and we are going to win 8 games. We're going to win 9 games minimum. We're going to be competitive. And this guy is wild. Like he takes sacks. He turns the ball over. He also has big plays. Like,
yeah, that's not like a Tomlin fit.
No, that doesn't feel like it fits what they've been for years.
They're going to want to punt.
And they're going to, like, I wonder if they'll lose more games this year if Fields is their quarterback because he'll take sacks. He'll turn the ball over and they'll lose games that with even a Kenny Pickett that never did anything that would impress you or an old Roethlisberger that didn't impress you, Fields is going to is going to turn the ball over or take bad plays like those guys didn't that will lose them games they weren't before.
Sal tweets moments ago, Kyir Elam working with the first team defense to start the day. It's been a healthy rotation all camp. Benford, Douglas, Elam. Break time, Extendo Sports, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, a couple quick things for you here. One, Friday foursome, you can still register. Go to WGR550.com. And every Friday, we announce lucky winner, one lucky winner who gets a chance to experience the excitement of playing Seneca Hickory Stick or Lockport Country Club or Diamond Hawk or Clover Bank Country Club. Plus, you receive a box of Encore Golf Balls, a $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, plus a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. And Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Two things for you on wide receivers. One, Tyreek Hill's new contract. Tyreek Hill got a new deal, and it is massive, says the headline. But what's the thing I want to check, and I'm always obsessed with to drive home the point about the escalating salary cap? Joe, did you know that Tyreek Hill's new massive contract comes in at a lower percentage of the cap than the previous contract?
Take a pay cut.
No, he's making,
not quite.
He's making more money.
Yeah.
But it is a lower percentage of the cap than the deal he signed before. To that point.
It's like a cap hit cut more so.
To that point. We love the AAV. Oh, on Josh Allen's the 13th highest paid quarterback. He actually addressed that with Kay Adams. Maybe we'll play the clip tomorrow and dig into it. He said the market's the market. He talks like a man that knows he's going to make $70 million a year in like 2 years. Anyway, a lot about, can you believe Patrick Mahomes is like the 10th highest paid quarterback? And Josh, Brandon Ayuk, there's news on Brandon Ayuk today. Matt Maiocco covers the Niners. Tweeted moments ago, I've stated for a while, I didn't see any scenario in which the Niners would trade him. Now I believe it's a legitimate option. In a lot of ways, the ball is in Ayuk's court. How many receivers have a higher AAV than Brandon Ayuk?
Right now?
Right now.
On the fifth-year option?
He wants AAV.
AAV.
We do AAV on quarterbacks.
Is it like 20?
Higher. More. More. More than 20.
30?
More.
50?
More.
Oh, jeez. 90.
70. On AAV, Brandon Ayuk is the 71st highest paid receiver on AAV.
Yeah.
Of course, he's on the fifth-year option. That's not 70th, but anyway.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They might trade him, and he totally deserves to be paid higher than the 50th, the 71st. Where's Ja'Marr Chase on AAV?
Oh, rookie deal? Like, he's got to be, like, outside the top 100, right? I would guess.
I'll find Ja'Marr Chase for you. I'm on SpotTrack. Ja'Marr Chase is 38th on AAV. He comes in he comes in right behind Curtis Samuel. Ja'Marr Chase. Anyway.
What you're saying is they should trade for Ayuk.
They should trade for Ayuk, yes. I don't know how they make it fit. They probably can't. But I would do that. I would do that.
Maybe we get to this quickly another day this week. I was just going through like the Hall of Fame quarterback stuff. And I think I'm realizing there might be a long gap between quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah?
If some guys don't get in.
Just because Brady, like,
who,
Brady ran the show for so long that not enough guys won it?
Before Mahomes gets in, whenever that ends up being, who's getting in?
Stafford.
Between Brady and Mahomes?
Stafford.
Is that it? Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Is that it? Between Mahomes and Brady, how many quarterbacks go into the Hall of Fame? Stafford? Rodgers? Brady's in 2028. Like, I'm just saying, there could be like a 10-year period of Hall of Fame inductees where there's like two quarterbacks. I think I'm doing that right, unless I'm missing.
Roethlisberger.
He'll go in before Brady, though.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, aren't we going to go through a long period of time with not many guys?
Yeah.
If they all, like, because, you know, Eli's going to get in, Breeze is going to get in, and then Brady will get in, and that will be momentous. And then we'll wait for Mahomes, and there's a couple guys. Maybe will Russell Wilson get mixed in there? I don't know if Russell Wilson's going to be a Hall of Fame guy. I haven't looked at his candidacy, really. I'm just saying, like, there's going to be a long period with not many options, it feels like.
Okay, we're back tomorrow. Training camp continues Wednesday, Thursday. It is a game week. Bills and Bears coming your way on Saturday. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.